I've got a little bit on my mind this afternoon, not a whole lot, but I hope it'll be beneficial to you. It's a very simple subject. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody preach necessarily on this exact subject. I'm sure that they have. As I was reading, a couple of verses popped out at me that kind of got me interested in it, and that's on the subject of boasting. That's not necessarily a word we use a whole lot today. We would probably use the word bragging more than boasting. And it's something that's very common that you see in the Bible, even though you don't think that much about it. The Bible actually has a lot to say about boasting. And I looked up the definition of boasting, or again, bragging as we would think of it today. And it is to glory or to talk with excessive pride about oneself. And so when you look through the Bible, you don't actually find the word bragging in the Bible, in the King James Bible. But you do find the word boast or boastful, boasting, and you find the word glory, like if it were to say, take no glory for yourself. It doesn't say that, but if it were to say that, it's the exact same word that means to boast or to glory. And so it was interesting as I read through there and looked at some of these verses that it is there are some specific things that the Lord tells us that we are not to boast about. And then there are some things that the Lord tells us that we are to boast about. And so typically when we think about boasting or bragging, we think about it in a negative light. I don't know that anybody really admires somebody for how good they brag. There's a lot of that out there, especially if you're in youth sports or Little League sports a lot. There's a whole lot of that going on. You know, I'm all about you need to, you know, your children, you know, they need some measure of acknowledgement if they're successful in something to help build their confidence and to let them know that you are concerned and you care. But, that should be in a small measures. But the amount of boasting or bragging, your children are somewhat of an extension of you. And there's a whole lot of bragging that goes on if you're around Little League sports and all that stuff. People just kind of unashamedly talk about how good they used to be or how good their children are. I had a guy one time come up to me and we were practicing baseball. I'd never met the guy before. His son played on the team and he comes up to me and we're talking and we probably talked 20 seconds. I mean, just enough. I don't even know that I'd gotten the guy's name before. And within 20 seconds, he had started into how many home runs he had hit in college. And I'm just sitting back like, okay, you know. And have you ever really admired somebody for that? Have you ever really gone home and said, you won't believe I met the nicest guy today. He just talked so much about how good he is at everything. I just can't wait to be around him again. It's not something that, you know, it's not real pleasing to the people that are listening to it. But there's something inside of us as fallen creatures that wants to magnify ourselves, you know, and that's such a shameful trait for us to want to elevate and glorify ourselves. And whether it's you're a washed up has been baseball player and you want to go back and tell everybody how good you used to be, or whether it's how much money you make or how much stuff you have or whatever it may be, there's just kind of something in us that wants to let everybody know what we have accomplished. Well, again, the Bible says that is called boasting. And so one of the things that in Proverbs, the 27th chapter, it gives us a warning here. This is a great, great verse that I wish everybody could commit to memory. In Proverbs, the 27th chapter, it says, in verse 2, it says, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." And so the Lord's telling us here in Proverbs that there may be things that you do very well. There may be, you may be just an accomplished musician. You may be a great singer. Some people have written, we've got people that are writing hymns. And, you know, really some of my favorite hymns that we sing are written from people in our church. You know, Brother Tim's written many songs. I know Sister Kate has written some songs and some of you others. And those are some of my favorites. Very talented and that area, and there are other people that are good athletes, and there are other people that just have very good business sense and things like that. So there are things that we as human beings do very well, but the commandment that's given to us here is whatever those things may be, if there's going to be any praise brought to us, it needs to be done from somebody other than you. And so if you have, you know, how would you receive Brother Tim? If Brother Tim got up here one Sunday and said, hey, we're going to try a new song today. And he said, I just want you guys to know I wrote this song and I'm the best songwriter that's ever been, you know, and that there's no song great. It sounds a little bit like Trump, doesn't it? You know, there's no song greater than the song that I've written. And this is, you know, everybody needs to listen to this because it's, you know, you would be like, you know, I don't know that already. I don't like it, you know, just from the way it's been presented. So the Bible says that it's not necessarily bad if you are receiving praise for things that you've done, but where it gets really bad is if you're the one praising your own self. Now, if you think about, and I'm going to flip around. You don't have to flip with me too much. So I'm going to go kind of quick. In John, the 8th chapter, if you follow the pattern of Jesus, notice this. In John the 8th chapter, the Lord is somewhat in a dispute with the Jews. And the Jews say, are thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And this is what Jesus says. Jesus answered, and this is what he said. He said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Now, you notice that? You notice what he's saying? If I glorify and I praise and testify of my own self, he even says that that's nothing. He said, it is my Father that honoreth me. Again, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Jesus says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. So the example that Jesus set before us is that even when of all the people that should be boasting about what they are and what they can do or what they have done, it should be the Lord, say, look at all these wonderful, honorable things that I've done. But Jesus even says, if I honor myself, it's nothing. So the Lord himself had the opportunity to praise himself with his own lips, but he didn't. What did he do? He turned and pointed it back to the Father. Now, on the flip side of that, if you flip over to the book of Daniel, which we have used this example many times, in the book of Daniel, about when you look at the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, there comes a time when even though Nebuchadnezzar has been warned and he has had visions and he's had dreams and pretty much had his future laid out for him, he is so prideful. Because you can't boast without pride being your companion. So he is so full of pride that there comes a time that he walks out into the palace of his kingdom. And it says in Daniel, the 4th chapter, verse 29, at the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Then he spake and said, notice one sentence here. And I think it's three times that he says, myself, or I. All right, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Now, it would be a whole different animal if the Bible read that King Nebuchadnezzar walked into the palace of his kingdom and a servant came up to him and said, King Nebuchadnezzar, is this not great Babylon that you've built with the might of your majesty and the might of your power? That's a whole different animal than Nebuchadnezzar coming out and saying it about himself. And so, is the Lord pleased with Nebuchadnezzar praising himself with his own lips? Well, doesn't sound like it, because it says, while the word was still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. So it's basically telling us this, that before the echoing of the words you know, fall away from the ears of anybody that might have heard him. While the sound waves are still going out, he is almost interrupted from heaven and saying, "That's it. Okay, you have praised yourself with your own lips too many times, and you are," it says, notice what it says in verse 32, "and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know," listen to this, "until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whosoever he will." Do you see the difference in what Nebuchadnezzar did and what Jesus did? Jesus says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. And he says, basically, any honor that I have is honor to the Father. King Nebuchadnezzar says, look what I have done. Look at my power, my might, my majesty. And the Lord says, all right, hush. This is what's going to happen to you until you learn to honor the Father on high. Because Nebuchadnezzar had to learn a lesson that he could have learned with some humility. Now, we also see in Isaiah, the 10th chapter, there's a time that the Lord uses in chastisement. The Lord removes the hedge of protection from Israel, and the king of Assyria comes in to overtake Israel and bring great destruction and bondage to them. And in Isaiah, the 10th chapter, notice what it says here. It says in verse 12, "Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem," that is his whole work being they were in a season of chastisement because of their rebellion, and the way he chastised them was to remove the hedge of protection, and the king of Assyria flooded in. And he says, "When I am done chastising them, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks." So what is the king of Assyria? What spirit does he have? He has a very boastful spirit, because it says in verse 13, "For he saith, by the strength of my hand have I done it." Who does that sound like? Just exactly like Nebuchadnezzar. By the strength of my hand have I done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. What is the king of Assyria pointing to here? What is he doing? He's praising himself with his own lips. The very same thing that Nebuchadnezzar did, and the Lord is not pleased with that. And in verse 15 it says, and this is a good lesson for us all, it says, "Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood." Now, it'd be just as silly as this. If I went out and I took an axe and I split some firewood and I sat down to rest and laid the axe up by the tree and the axe looked up at me and said, "Boy, I split that wood good, didn't I?" You'd be like, I think I was swinging the axe. He says it's just as ridiculous for the king of Assyria or the king of Babylon to say, "Look what I have done." It's just as ridiculous to say that as if the axe were to say to the man that was carrying it, "Look what I have cut out, look what I have done." So, number one, when it comes to boasting, we are not to boast about ourselves. And listen, that can get really hard when you're in a circle of people and everybody's boasting about themselves. I can remember a time, and I'm not even going to give you the details because I don't want to boast about myself. But I can remember a time I was in a circle of guys there, and we were talking, and you know, it came up to you know, the glory days and time going by, and they started giving some stats. "Oh, you know, I was this, and I was that, and I was this, and I was that." And that particular thing we were talking about, I had beat all of them in it. But I just kept thinking, "Let another man praise thee." And so I just stood there and just bit my tongue in half, but that flesh wanted to be like, "Well, hey, that's good, but let me tell you about me." I didn't want to be Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't want to be the king of Assyria, but the temptation is there to say, "Let me tell you about me." What's the song? "I want to talk about me." I think, was it Toby Keith that sang that song? Yeah, I want to talk about me. So we're not to boast of ourselves. Number two, and this is probably a big one here and probably one everybody's thinking about. In the book of Ephesians, it's very specific about something that we're not to boast about. And in Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And it says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." So that tells me that when it comes to our salvation, and by salvation I simply mean the forgiveness of our sins in eternity because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, so we can stand before the Lord holy and clean. It tells us there that, and this is a good filter that I would tell anybody to run your method of salvation through. If your belief system of salvation leaves the door open for there to be any possibility to boast or to point towards what man did, there it is a flawed thinking about salvation. And I don't see how you could take that any other way. And again, coming from my background where I came from, I can't tell you the number of times that I've talked to people, and then when it came to their eternity, I would say 98% of the time when you talk to people about their eternity, it was always I will be in heaven because of something I did. And that thing that they did may simply be what they would call accepting Jesus or praying a sinner's prayer, but it was always I. And it sounds a lot like Nebuchadnezzar and the king of Assyria. You know, I'm going to be in heaven because I'm a good person, because I prayed a sinner's prayer, because I did this and I did that. And listen, I'm not being critical. So sincere. The salt of the earth, godly people that are very sincere, they're just wrong on this matter. I've seen people come down to the altar and the preacher take them by the hand and get them to repeat a prayer with them and turn around and say, "I just want to present so-and-so to you. They have made the best decision of their life. They have asked for forgiveness. They have done this. They have done this. They have done this." Now, that person may not leave out of there boasting about what they've done, but they could. Are you with me on that? Because the door is open for them to say, "I did something." And I can remember when I was very young and I listened to a preacher and he told me the things that I had to do to get to be saved. I can remember after that happened, we went over to, it was either that night or a few nights after that, we went over to a friend's house and there was kind of a get together like we do sometimes. And I can remember all the people coming up to me and hugging me, congratulating me on what I had done. And even as a young age, I guess the Lord knew where I would end up in the Primitive Baptist Church. But even at a young age, something felt unsettling about that. Because the Lord tells us, when it comes to your salvation, if you can say anything other than "all glory to God," you have got a flawed view of salvation. And I don't know how else to take that verse. So we're not to brag on ourselves. We're not to brag about our role in salvation. Now, are there things that we are supposed to boast about? Absolutely. There's three things here I want to look at that I found in the Bible that the Lord tells us that we are to boast about. One of those is in 1 Corinthians. They all kind of fall under this umbrella in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Paul is writing here and he says, "According as it is written, he that glorieth," or boast, or brags, "he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, I want to look at just some examples here. And if I'm not mistaken, they're all from Paul. And it's interesting to me, you know, if somebody had a right to brag and boast about their ministry, it really would have been Paul. The things that Paul lists that he suffered because of his ministry, he tells us about them, but he never boasts about them. He never says, "Well, y'all were good preachers, but y'all didn't get beat 195 times for the Lord. And guess who did? They didn't say, well, you've done a lot of work for the Lord, but you've never been in perils of shipwreck and perils of your own countrymen. But guess who did? Paul never takes that approach. If you'll notice some of these things that Paul says, he always takes whatever glory he could take for himself, and he does the same thing that Jesus did, and he flips it and turns it and points it back to the Lord. Now, one of the things that Paul says, I like this, and I believe it's in the book of Philippians. What does Paul say? Paul says, I can do all things, right? Does he leave it like that? Does he say, period, I can do all things? Hey, Mark, Timothy, Silas, I can do all things. He doesn't say it like that. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, right? What does he do? He takes it and he turns whatever things that maybe the flesh would want to boast about and turns it right back to the Lord. He says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and don't forget the conversion and don't forget what we believe is the new birth of Saul on the road to Damascus. Don't forget how that happened. Oftentimes, you know, we talk about Paul and all his great and wonderful things that he did, but we forget that when the Lord came to him, and what I believe in the new birth, and when he gave him a new heart and a new spirit, he was on the way to persecute Christians. And so I imagine that hung with Paul for the rest of his life here. But he says this in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verse 9. He says, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle. Doesn't sound a lot like boasting right now, does it? He says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. The very thing that Paul put his neck on the line time after time after time, there was a time that he persecuted it. And because of that, Paul says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle of God for what I've done in the past. But then he says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You get that? By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And he says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Hold up, Paul, sounds like you're boasting a little bit. And then he says, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Do you see that? Paul could have said, let me tell you about me. I had a meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And I fell down before him, and I heard what he was saying, and I got up, and I said, okay, I'm a changed man. And I went to Ananias' house and into a street that was called Straight, and I sat there and talked with him till my eyes got where they could see better, and brother, I began preaching. He could have said it like that, and would he have necessarily been inaccurate to say that? Not necessarily, because that's pretty much what happened. But what does his story say? I. And then when he has a chance to recount what he was before and how unworthy he is, when he gets a chance to recount how he went from there to here, the only thing he says is, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we could all say that. By the grace of God, you are here tonight. I can certainly say by the grace of God, I am up here tonight. Because this is not what I believed for the first 30 years of my life. By the grace of God, we are what we are. So if we're going to boast, let us boast in the Lord. Galatians says, in the 6th chapter, in verse 14, again, remember, this is all Paul talking. He's talked to the church at Corinth. He's talked to the church at Philippi. He is talking now to the church at Galatia. This is not one single letter. He's writing this to a bunch of different people. And he says, God forbid, that is the ultimate of don't let this be so. Don't let, there is no higher level of saying, don't let this be. God forbid that I should glory or boast or brag, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He talks about in the second chapter here, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, that is the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul had every reason in the world to boast. Look, I know y'all are probably fixing to throw tomatoes at me. Paul was a better preacher than David Crawford. He was. David Crawford would admit that. Paul had every, he was a better preacher than Sonny Piles. He had every reason to be puffed up and boast, but every time you see him have the opportunity to do that, he says, I can do all things, but I can only do them through Christ. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am, and God forbid that I should glory in anything else other than the cross. So if we're going to boast, we do not boast about ourselves. We don't boast about our salvation. But we certainly boast in the Lord. Now, this next one may shock you a little bit. Even though I'd read it before, it kind of startled me again when I came back to it. Another thing that we can boast in is our weaknesses. Now, think about that. Can you imagine a guy coming up to a Little League baseball game, and I say that because that's what I'm the most familiar with, saying, hey, let me tell you about me. Hey, leading the team in strikeouts, right here. That would be weird. You're bragging about your weakness? Hey, I hadn't fielded a ground ball clean all year. What you gonna do with that? Doesn't make any sense. But how often do the things that the Lord tells us to do go against what our typical normal line of thinking is? Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, if I must needs glory, if I have to brag, if I just absolutely have to boast, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Now think about that. And again, so clever. Why would Paul say that? Why would Paul say, I'm about to boast? If I've got to boast, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses and my infirmities. Because Paul is dealing with something here. You read about 10 verses later that Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure, unless so I won't be boastful, so I won't be bragging, so I won't glory in myself. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And it torments Paul, and he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now notice his next verse, his next sentence. He says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And he says, I am become a fool in glorying. You see what he's saying? Even in Paul's weakness, he found a way to turn it and put glory back to the Lord. Because Paul says, I didn't have the strength to stand, but yet I stood because of the grace of God that is in me. I didn't have the voice to sing, but I sang because the power of God rested upon me in my weakness. I didn't have the power to shout amen and to rejoice, but I did it because the power of God rested upon me. Do you see what he's saying? as weak as and as feeble as I could possibly be, when I'm in prison with my brother Silas in stocks and in fetters and in chains, in the most uncomfortable position, in the darkest, gloomiest, coldest prison, I'm starving to death and I'm probably shivering from the cold. In those moments when there's nothing inside of me that shows any type of strength, I gloried in it. I gloried in my weaknesses, because the only thing that could open my mouth and bring a note out to the Lord or a song for the Lord is that the power of God rested upon me. Now, you think about your own situations. If there's been a time in your life when you didn't have the strength to do what you needed to be doing, yet in some way, in some shape, in some form, you found it? Glory in that weakness. Because in that weakness, everything points back to the Lord and the strength that He gives. And so Paul says, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. You know, there's been people that have been sick and dying on their deathbed, and they knew it. Yet they were at more peace than a man standing there talking to him with money in the bank and health on his medical charts and fit as a fiddle and everything in the world going for him, and he was more unsettled than the man on his deathbed. How can that be? How can that man glory in that infirmity and that moment of weakness? It's because the power of Christ rested upon him. He doesn't do it on his own accord. He doesn't do it under his own strength. And Paul knew that. And he says, okay, if you're not going to take this from me, if this thorn in my flesh is going to stay with me, then I will most gladly glorify, because that tells me to stay down and quit preaching and just hold up in your house and feel sorry for yourself. But by the power of God, I'm going to continue to go. And he took pleasure in that. Therefore, I take pleasure and infirmities. Boy, that's a whole different line of thinking. So, boast in the Lord and boast in your infirmities. The last thing here in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, he says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. The third thing that we can boast about is each other. And you might find that surprising, but the Bible says, let another man praise you and not your own lips. We should be honoring and glorifying each other. Look, there is not a thing in the world wrong with going out and saying, Brother Tim preached the best message last Sunday that I think I have ever heard. There's nothing wrong with that, because you're glorifying and honoring Brother Tim. But Brother Tim doesn't need to go out and say that. Hey, I preached the best message I've ever heard, even if it was me preaching it. Because we need encouragement. And just like with the children I told you at the beginning, there needs to be some measure of honoring them and acknowledging whatever successes or blessings that they've had in this life, because it fills them with confidence and encourages them. We need to encourage one another. I like to tell people, I could hear you singing. I could hear you singing in the congregation. I just quit singing just to listen. I could hear your voice, and it was in perfect harmony. It was beautiful. That's okay to do that. Are you boasting? Yeah, but you're boasting about another saint. Paul says, great is my glorying of you. Do you think Paul took time in his journeys, and the Lord inspired some writings here where he honored and he boasted and he gloried Priscilla and Aquila? Absolutely. Absolutely. He talks to them. As a matter of fact, unless I'm mistaken, I believe Paul glorifies them so much that he says, they laid down their necks for me. They laid down their life for me. Something along those lines. He's pointing to their faithfulness in helping him in his ministry, and he brags about them. But he's not bragging about himself. He's bragging about his other saints. because it says, let another man praise thee. It does say that. It says, let another man praise thee. It doesn't say, don't let another man praise thee and don't praise yourself. It says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Lastly here, the Lord has a way of humbling the proud. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the Lord, through Moses, is talking to his people. This is somewhat of a summary of the end of their journeyings towards the promised land. And he talks about all that he's done for them. The Red Sea, he talks about the manna. He talks about how that their clothes didn't get old and their feet didn't swell for the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And he goes on and on about how he took care of them. And he says to them, he says, but now beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And he says, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. So where are these people? They're not hungry. They're full. They're established because they've got houses that they've built. He says, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. So they've got their house, they've got food, they've got plenty of money, and plenty of livestock. He says, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When we boast about ourselves, it is an indication that we have forgotten the Lord. Did you catch that? When we boast about ourselves, it is an indication that we have forgotten the Lord's work in us. And he says, and thou say in thine heart, my power, again, who does this sound like? Thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. The saying, my power and my might and the might of my hand, that's what the king of Assyria said. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. That's what God's people said, because they forgot that they are what they are because of the grace of God. And that's what Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. God's people, time and time and time again, once the Bible says Israel waxed, which means became, Israel waxed fat and forgot God. Israel waxed fat and forgot God. When everything is going really well for us, we sure have a tendency to start boasting about the might of our wealth, our hands, and the things that we have accomplished. And we begin to boast about those things, when really we should walk under the banner that Paul did, is by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, you are here. By the grace of God, heaven will be our home. By the grace of God, he's given us his word. By the grace of God, he established preachers. By the grace of God, he united us together and knit our hearts together in love in a local body called Bethlehem. Not because of I, because of him. I hope that's been profitable to you.